Turning this morning in God's Word to the book of Esther, in the chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. The book of Esther in chapter 4. And we're going to commence our reading at the verse 1. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then they called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, and he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that it was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's province to know, that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told him Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bid them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Amen. May God bless the public reading of his truth. Returning once again in God's word to the book of Esther. The book of Esther into the chapter 4. And just with God's word open before us, let us still our hearts once again in God's presence and ask now for God's help as we consider His truth today. Our loving God and Father in heaven, we thank You already for a sense of Thy presence with us today. We thank You for the One that loved us and gave Himself for us, the One that has redeemed us through His own precious blood. And O God, we pray that Thou wouldst increase our courage, Lord, to help us to be faithful to Thee, to help us to stand for Thee, even in this generation in which we live. We pray, O Lord, now as we come to consider Thy Word, that Thou wouldst speak to us out of Thy law. Cause it to be a living Word before us today. Give us ears to hear Thy truth. May we hear not only with the outer ear, but with the inner ear of the heart. May we perceive Thy truth and receive it, Lord, and seek to obey it, Lord, even in this day and generation. And so, Lord, we just commit our way unto Thee. Come, Lord, now and especially lead us and guide us by Thy Spirit. And we pray, O God, that even as we open up Thy truth, that Your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen and amen. Over the course of the history of this world, God has always had His man to stand for Him. No matter what the situation has been, no matter what the circumstances have been in this world, God has always had His man, or His group of people, to stand for Him and to maintain His cause. He's never allowed evil men to continually have an upper hand. Yes, there's been those times when evil men have held sway, and they've committed some of the most wickedest and heinous crimes against God's people. And God's people have been persecuted, put to death. But God has never allowed His testimony to be completely wiped off the face of this world. As we look down through the history of this world, we can see this clearly being the case. Noah's day, when the world was steeped in sin, when there was only one family standing, we could say, God still had that family. God still had Noah in the world to maintain His cause. When there was a Pharaoh in Egypt that knew not Joseph, God had His Moses, one to maintain His testimony. When His people were all slaves there, God had His deliverer, His man to maintain His cause. When there was the Midianites, God had His Gideon. When there was Goliath and the Philistines, God had His David. When there was an Ahab as the king of Israel, seeking to bring paganism into God's people, God had His Elijah. When there was a Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, God had His Daniel, and His Shadrach, Meshach, and His Abednego. Bringing it closer, when there was Rome at its height of its power in the Dark Ages, God had His reformers, men that were the intellectual men of their time, men that were geniuses, that could take on Rome, men like Calvin, like Knox, like Luther, men with unique powers and abilities. Perhaps we could say that the church has never had men like them. But you see, God had them for that time. The church needed them. God provided them. And so God has always had His man for the moment and His moment for the man. And He will never allow evil to completely wipe His testimony off the face of the world. He will always maintain His cause, and He will always have those to maintain His cause, His children. However, in the portion of God's Word that we've read this morning, God has not chosen a man to stand up for Him. God has not chosen a man to maintain His cause. Rather, here we see that He has chosen a young woman. Here we have the most remarkable story of how God raises up a young woman to maintain His cause and to stand up for Him in her day and generation. We were going to choose someone that would save a nation, deliver a country. In all likelihood, we would choose a man. Someone that was a strong leader. Someone that was not afraid. Many things. But this was not God's way here. Here we see that God chooses Esther to be His special instrument of deliverance. In His providence, He places her in a position that she might maintain His cause and save His people. And you know, the only reason why we are reading about Esther this morning, the only reason why the book of Esther is in God's Word, is because Esther was faithful to God. She was a young woman that was faithful in her generation. She was faithful in the thing that God set her up to do, or put her in that position to do. That is why we're reading about Esther this morning. That is why we're considering her. Because she was faithful to God and her generation. And this morning I want us to consider Esther here. In Esther chapter 4, and particularly the verse 14, where it says, "For if thou altogether," and this is Mordecai speaking to Esther. He says to her, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This morning I want us to look at Esther and to look at the subject of being faithful in your generation. being faithful in your generation. Here was a young lady, and she was faithful in her generation. And that is what God requires of all His own children. That is what God requires of us today, that we are faithful to Him in our generation. First of all, notice then with me here, the responsibility of being faithful. The responsibility of being faithful. Here Esther had a responsibility to be faithful. The wicked Haman had hatched a plan to destroy the Jews some time before this. Haman, of course, was, we could say, the prime minister of the empire of Persia. King Ahasuerus had lifted Haman up to be the greatest in the land, the chief prince. And he had also given a commandment that all the other servants of King Mordecai had, or King Ahasuerus had to bow down before Haman. But there was one man that wouldn't. He was a Jew, Mordecai. And he would not submit to this wicked man. He would not reverence this wicked man. He would not bow down before him. And so, when Haman realized this, he was a man so wicked and evil that he decided not only to destroy Mordecai, but he would destroy all of the Jews, all of God's people. And he went with the spurious lies to the lie to the king, saying that the Jews were a dangerous people and they would want to overthrow the kingdom of Persia. And so the king gave commandment that all the Jews on a certain date were going to be destroyed, were going to be cut off. Haman not only was satisfied with this, but he promised to give to the king's treasuries 1,000 talents of silver that he might get rid of the Jews forever. This was what was happening when Esther came to the throne, came to be king, queen. But God, even before this happened, had devised a way in which God's people could be delivered. Of course, Esther wasn't the first queen of Ahasuerus. Vashti had been queen before that. And King Ahasuerus, sometime before this, was holding a great feast. And he wanted to show the beauty of his queen to all those that were gathered there. And he gave command for Vashti to come. But she wouldn't come. She disobeyed the king. And so because of this, she was put away. And another queen was sought. And Esther was made queen. The young Jewish girl. And she was brought to this position now by God for a reason. She had a responsibility to be faithful. God had lifted her up from obscurity in the nation, or the empire of Persia. And He brought her right up to the position of being a queen, of having a voice before the king, of having access to the greatest power in the land. God had placed her in this position. So therefore she had a responsibility to be faithful. But who did you have a responsibility of being faithful to? Well, she firstly had a responsibility to be faithful to God. We have said that God in His providence had placed Esther here. He had brought her to this position. He had lifted her up from poverty to be the queen of the empire. And so she had a responsibility, firstly, to God. She had a responsibility, first of all, to be faithful to God. And not being faithful to Him in this position would have been letting the Lord down. It would have been failing the Lord. Would have been dishonouring Him. And you know, we can say that God has placed each one of us in the position that we find ourselves in life, that we might be faithful to Him. You may not think that the position that you find yourself in is a very honourable position. You may find that your position is just like an ordinary 5'8", we could say, a run-of-the-mill position. But nevertheless, we can say that God has placed you in that position that you find yourself in, that you might be faithful to Him. Well, yes, it might be a position where you're in company with those that hate the Lord. And it's hard to maintain a testimony. Maybe you're working in an environment where there's others around you that would mock the things of God. Wicked man. Nevertheless, God has placed you there, we could say, that you might be a light in a dark place. Maybe a young person, even in a school, you find yourself all alone as you seek to maintain your own holiness and purity. God wants you to be faithful. He's placed you there. To be faithful to Him. In fact, no matter where you find yourself in life, God in His providence has placed you there that you might serve and honour Him. might be just in the home with the children, or some other aspect in life. But wherever you are, God wants you to be faithful to Him and to honour Him. Esther here, she didn't need to be faithful to God, because it was the very people from which the Lord Jesus would come that were under threat. It had been prophesied that the Lord Jesus, the Savior of God's people, would come through the line of the Jews. And it was the Jews that had been under threat. Not just one Jew, but the whole nation were going to be wiped out here. And so this attack of the devil was aimed not only at the Jews, not only at Mordecai, but it was aimed at the Lord Jesus. Because it was his ancestors, humanly speaking, that were going to be destroyed. And they can say also today, more so than ever, the things of God are under attack. And how we need to be faithful to God in our homes, and in our lives, in our workplaces, in the house of God. How we need to be those that stand up for God and maintain His testimony, maintain His cause. And we have a wicked government like we have today that thinks it is a very good thing when the Prime Minister's wife goes to a sodomite parade and is photographed with some of the wickedest and pervertest people in our society. When our government thinks that's a very positive thing, how we need to maintain the cause of Christ. How we need to stand up and say, that is wrong, that is evil. That is an abomination in God's sight. And many other such things. Oh, as God's people, we cannot afford to lie down and let these things just float past. We need to maintain God's cause. Be faithful to God. Stand up for righteousness. Because God has positioned us where we are today in the history of this world, that we might be faithful to Him. We need to maintain the cause of Christ. How holds every child of God to be bold in the place that God has placed them. Not only had Esther then the responsibility of being faithful to God, but she also had a responsibility to be faithful to her fellow man. To her fellow man. Verse 14, our text tells us that, for if I altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. She had a duty and a responsibility to her father's house, to her nation. She didn't go in before the king, then they would be destroyed. So therefore she had a responsibility to go in before the king, that her family and her nation might be saved. Well, can we not draw a parallel today? Have we not a duty of responsibility to our family, to our friends, to our nation, that we go in before the king for their sakes? For their sakes. And seek God, that God will come and God will save them. And God will deliver them. Esther, she had this responsibility to go in and to seek the face of the king. And he was a man that was wicked. A man that was uninviting, we could say. Yet she still had a responsibility to go before him, that her family and her nation might be saved. We are invited to come before the King of Kings. One that bids us come. A God of love and a God of mercy. And a God that seeks that we seek Him. And desires that we seek Him. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we failed in our responsibility to our fellow man? The failing to go in before the face of the King. For our families, for our children, and for our nation. Esther here, she had a duty of responsibility of being faithful to God. She had also a duty of responsibility of being faithful to her fellow man. And we too have great responsibility as God's people. And God has lifted us up to be His children, not to be the queen of the land, something greater. To be the priests of God. To be those that intercede. To be those that go in before the king. To those that have access to the king. That we might seek him. That he will intervene. That he will save our families and our nation for his own glory. Then not only do we see here the responsibility of being faithful. Notice also the challenge of being faithful here. The challenge of being faithful. Esther here is challenged by Mordecai to be faithful to God and her people. And what a challenge Mordecai brings to Esther. He, as it were, throws the gauntlet down to her, puts the ball in her court, and he challenges her to be faithful. Speaks directly to her. And he brings this challenge for her to be faithful. Notice here in Mordecai's challenge here in verse 14 that it was not an easy task being faithful. It wasn't an easy task being faithful. For Esther here to be faithful was no easy thing. Indeed, it was a very dangerous thing. In verse 16, Esther acknowledges that she will go in before the face of the king, but she says in the latter verse, the latter part of verse 16, "And if I perish, I perish." Esther here, in going in before the face of the king, was taking her life into her own hands, was placing her life in jeopardy. Verse 11 explains the situation in those days. It says there, "And all the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall go unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. The king hadn't seen Esther's face for 30 days. He wasn't seeking for her. And it was the law in those days that if anybody came before the king that wasn't invited, there was one law, they would be put to death. And so Esther wasn't invited. She hadn't been invited for a whole month. And so she was placing her life in jeopardy here. It may have cost her life being faithful to God. And it has cost many faithful children of God their lives down through the history of this world. We can think of the many who have died being faithful to Christ. We're willing to go to the stake. We're willing to be burnt alive. We're willing to die in some of the most brutal and cruel fashions. Why? Because they were faithful to Christ. Faithful to God. You see, being faithful is no easy task. There can't be no doubt about it. Being faithful to God in this world is no easy task. The reason why it was not easy for Esther to be faithful was because she was in a hostile environment. She was in Persia. A nation or an empire that was heathen. An empire that was wicked. Esther wasn't in Jerusalem here. She wasn't in the place where God's people were able to worship freely. And she was in Persia. A hostile environment. And that is why it was so difficult for her to be faithful. That is why it was such a hard task. And you know, we can say likewise for the child of God. To be faithful to God in this world is no easy task because we live in a hostile environment. We live in a sinful world. A world that is set against the child of God. A world that hates the things of God. Christ said in John 15, speaking to his disciples, he said that the world would hate them and that it would persecute them and it would hate them and persecute them without a cause. Without a cause. This world doesn't need a reason to hate you. It doesn't need an excuse to hate you. The very fact that you're God's child and you want to be faithful to him is a good enough reason for this world to hate you, this world to persecute you. That's what Christ said. Oh, the child of God lives in a hostile environment. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Fight the good fight of faith." Ephesians 6, he makes reference to the Christian armour. And so it is very clear that the Christian, as he seeks to live for God, is in a battle. A battle against sin. Sin in every hand. There's the sins of this world, the things of this world that come against the child of God. There's Satan that comes against the child of God. Of course, the great enemy of his own heart. The lust of the flesh. Coming against the child of God. And how he must do battle with all. Day by day. Every day he will do battle with all. If he wants to be faithful. This threefold enemy has to be taken on. It has to be fought day by day. So it is no easy task being faithful to God. If Esther found it here, then not only was it no easy task, but it was her that must be faithful. It was her that had to be faithful. In verse 14, Mordecai says unto her, "And who knoweth whereat thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He brings the challenge very directly and personally to Esther, and he says, "Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther was in no doubt here. She was fully made aware of her responsibility in being faithful. Humanly speaking, the hope of Israel rested upon her. It was down to her. There was no one else. And this is what Mordecai does here. He just points the finger straight at her and he says, "Esther, you must be faithful. It is your duty, your responsibility. It is you that must be faithful." You know, this is something that every Christian needs to ask himself today, I believe. Am I being faithful? Personally, am I being faithful to God in the place that I am, that I find myself in life? Very often we can hide behind other things as Christians. We can say, well, we go to a faithful church. We go to the free church, a church that claims to stand outside the camp, a church that for years has exposed ecumenism, apostasy, a church that has stood against Rome. Oh, I go to the free Presbyterian church. The question is, are you being faithful in your own individual walk, in your own life with God? Or perhaps there's others and they say, well, you know what, our minister's a faithful wee man. He preaches the word of God and I know he does. And what a privilege it is to sit under him. But it's not whether your minister's faithful. Are you being faithful in your home with your children and with your wife? In your workplace? Are you being faithful? Maybe a young person, you're hiding behind your parents today. And you know that you have good parents and thank God for it. But what about you? Yes, your parents go to the prayer meeting. They're fine there. Their seats are occupied. What about you today? What about you? Are you being faithful? See, it is every single child of God's responsibility in being faithful. Being faithful. Being faithful out there in this world. It's easy to be faithful in the church, and a church on the Lord's day. But God wants you to be faithful for Him in those places that are not so easy, like Esther found herself in. Finger of responsibility, the divine finger of responsibility, points to every child of God. And the question is asked, are you being faithful? For thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So we see it is you that must be faithful. Yes, it is no easy task. It is difficult, as Esther found. But this is the challenge of being faithful. And then finally, notice not only the responsibility of being faithful and the challenge to be faithful, but notice here the time to be faithful. The time. Mordecai says, "Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." The time to be faithful is now, in other words. Mordecai says to Esther that God has brought you to the kingdom for now. This is your opportunity. This is your time. Esther, you must be faithful today. Tomorrow's too late. It's no good tomorrow. It's now or never, Esther. That's really what Mordecai was saying to her. It's now or never. God wants you to honour Him today. You know, very often we bemoan the sins of our nation, in the state of our land, and the wickedness that is in every hand, and how it is so hard to get people into church, and how it is so hard to seek to bring up a family in this sinful world. But you know, God has especially prepared you, His child, in His providence and in His wisdom, to be faithful to Him in this present sinful age. God has prepared you, God has equipped you to live in this world today. To live in this generation. You know, what was said to Esther here in verse 14, "Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this," can be said of every single Christian today. And every single Christian that has ever lived. You know, we haven't just dropped into this world out of space randomly. God has brought each one of us who are saved to Him for this day and generation. We can say to every single Christian, "Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." God has ordained that to be so. He controls all things that happens. He has controlled the very fact that you live in this day and generation. God doesn't ask you to be faithful to Him in a time of revival. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were in a time of revival? And by the way, what is revival? It is when God makes man holy. It is when God Himself steps in and makes man righteous. That is what revival is. But you know, the long and short of it is this: God wants us to be holy all the time. God wants us to be righteous all the time. And so when we're faithful to God, we're in personal revival. Because that's what God wants. That's God's requirement of us. That we be holy, as He is holy. We be righteous. And so when we're faithful to God, and when we live for God, we are in personal revival, we could say. But God doesn't necessarily ask us to be faithful to Him in revival. He wants us to be faithful to Him in our day and generation. Esther could have said, you know, well, if I was in Jerusalem, if I was there in the temple, oh, how I would be a great follower of God. I would follow God and I would serve Him. I would do all that I could. God had not asked Esther about that, but He hadn't told her to be a great follower of Him in Jerusalem. It wasn't Persia. It wasn't Shushan. It wasn't a heathen and wicked land that God wanted her to be faithful. And God wants us to be faithful today in this wicked age and this sinful generation. God has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. He's brought us to the kingdom for now. You know, if we're not faithful to God today, God's cause will still continue. It'll still go forward. That's what Esther was told here. Mordecai says, "For if I altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Mordecai makes Esther aware that there will be a deliverer if you don't stand up. But he says this, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." And you know, if we are not faithful to God today, God's work will still continue. Because God will always maintain His cause. God will always maintain His testimony. But what about our generation? What about our children and our young people? What about our present time? Oh, how we need to be faithful today. For their sakes and for God's glory. Knowing that God has placed us in our present place. How we need to stand up today for God and be faithful to Him. I wonder, in that day when the Lord returns, will we have been found to have been the Esthers of our day? We may not be queens and kings, great rulers or leaders, but we will have been faithful to God. We will have done our utmost to serve Him in the place God has placed us. God says, "They that honour Me, I will honour." And how God does honour Esther. Now, I find this the most remarkable thing here. Here we have a wicked king, Ahasuerus. A wicked man, Haman, prime minister in the land. Men, we could say, that were as thick as thieves. They have no thought for God or His truth. Whoever could get in between these two men and ruin this plan? Who could ever stop Haman? You think of today, if the Prime Minister set his heart on something, and all the government was with him on it, how could you ever overturn it? You feel so weak and helpless. There was an even more, that was the situation even more in this day. But when Esther was faithful to God, God did overturn it. God can overturn the wickedness that we see day by day in our nation. God can turn the tables on His enemies. Oh, how it behoves us today. But we are faithful to Him. We stand up and maintain His cause. Live lives that are righteous and glory for His own honour. May God even enable us to be the Esthers of our day and to serve him with all of our hearts. May he bless this truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.